So you have a handout in your bulletin, Parenting and Authority, and that's what we're going to be looking at this week. If you remember last week, we looked at how deception works, and I think the bottom line is that you, listen, parents, this is important by way of review, that you are parenting a worshiper. You are parenting a worshiper, and your child's heart is ruled by what he worships. This is true not just of your child, but of you yourself. We are parenting worshipers. Okay, everybody worships something, and your behavior, and your child's behavior is going to be reflected on what is the idol of his or her heart, right? And so last week, and if you don't have one of these handouts, I've got plenty. You ought to get them and the fill in the blank. This was last week's sheet, a look at Genesis chapter 3, the dynamics of the fall. And I just want to kind of really quick review, very, very quick, so we can get you out early, as I promised. But we learn in Genesis chapter 3 that there are steps that come to bear when one is deceived. And so we talked about deception, looking at Eve and remember the enemy, the serpent deceiving Eve. And so there's first believing a lie, believing a deception. You shall not surely die. Every sin that is born on this planet and in our hearts comes first out of being deceived. Being deceived. I believe that God's way is not the best way, and at some point I'm doing something contrary to what God says. I believe that God's way won't make me happy. I believe that this way will. Fundamentally, deception is the beginning of heart idols and ultimately poor decisions. And so we see the pattern in Genesis chapter 3. I'm not going to re-preach it. You should listen to the message. Deception, doubt comes after deception. And after doubting God that his way is the best way, I'm deceived, I doubt God, I desire something that I shouldn't, that's the beginning of a heart idol. I have a desire for something. I desire it more than I desire God, more than I desire God's ways, right? That's basically fundamentally a heart idol. Once you desire it and you have that kind of focused desire for something, disobedience. Disobedience. Once disobedience happens, emotions follow. Distress, anxiety, all sorts of emotions in Genesis chapter 3, shame, guilt, sorrow, disguise, after that, a desire to cover oneself, and then ultimately death. And we said, and this was the point of last week's message, so the way that as a parent, what you ought to know as you understand these steps, deception, doubt, desire, disobedience, distress, disguise, and death, is to do the opposite. Okay, to do the opposite. If you want your child not to be deceived, you should be fundamentally truth tellers to your kids. Tell the truth. Make that your goal as a parent. I'm going to speak truth, God's word. I'm going to be, and again, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Truth will lead to faith and trust as opposed to doubt, which will lead to a desire for God, which will lead to obedience, which will lead to joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit, which will lead to a walk in righteousness, which will lead not to death, but to life. Right? And so this fundamentally, now, that's a parenting principle, but it's not just a parenting principle. It's a life principle for every adult in here so that you understand how it works. Why do I keep continuing to do the things that I want? Well, there's some deception that you're believing. You're believing something that isn't true, and that belief is causing you ultimately to disobey. But as parents, we spend a lot of time trying to to deal with disobedience and actions when we should be spending a primary amount of our time speaking truth, speaking truth, speaking truth. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Today, if you look at your, I want to give a few biblical principles out of 2 Corinthians 5:15. And so I'm just going to turn there, and I think we have it on the PowerPoint, 2 Corinthians 5:15. A few principles that you can walk away with this morning. I thank God for parents and a mom that though she had didn't have this training, was a good, faithful steward of these principles. Let's read verse 15, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And he died, Jesus, for all. Notice this is the principle. So that, this is important. So that, why did he die for all? So that they who live might no longer live for themselves. Do you get that? What do people do that aren't in Jesus? They fundamentally, what's happening? They live for themselves. Jesus died so that you would not live for yourself. What are we talking about here? We're talking about authority structures. We're talking about authority structures. You, before you came to Jesus, you were your own boss. You were your own authority. And what we're saying is, as a godly parent, you need to understand authority structures. Because this is just a gospel principle. Part of the gospel is understanding this, that Jesus died so that you would not any longer be your own authority. You would not live for yourself. You would not live to yourself as the ultimate thing to answer to. There's a bigger authority than that. Jesus died in part, this is a gospel principle, Jesus died in part to be your authority and to establish authority. All right? Everybody following that? So gospel principle number one here, gospel principle number one, establishing biblical authority in your home is gospel work. Is gospel work. If you want authority structures in your house to work, understand setting up biblical authority structures in your home is gospel-oriented work. When you don't do that, when you don't have proper authority structures in your home, you are countervening, you are going against the gospel. Okay? It's simple. So, number one, gospel work. Everybody wants to be their own authority. And you're born to want to be that. Consequently, can you see that last week? With Eve. Ultimately, Eve has got an authority, right? Who was Eve's ultimate authority? Everybody. Anybody. God, this is important that we be the play. When I ask you a question, you got to answer, right? It's authority structures. Eve had an authority who was God. What we read in Genesis chapter 3 ultimately is a scenario in which Eve thought she was her own boss. Eve said, I don't want to listen to God anymore. I can make my own decisions. I can come out from under the authority of God and eat the fruit. Okay? Ultimately, Genesis chapter 3 is an authority problem. Everybody who's ever lived wants to be their own boss. It happens at birth. It happens at birth. When the baby comes out and the baby, sinful, wicked, beautiful baby, but sinful, wicked baby, has no idea about anything of authority. They want to be their own authority. And when they're hungry, they're going to let you know. They're going to let you know in the only way that they know how to. And they're going to throw little baby fits. And then those fits become two-year-old tantrums. And this happens I'll never forget when we never had this big a problem. When we were parenting our littlest ones, and they're 3-4 years old, and they liked almost everything, right? I mean, it wasn't like, and we didn't give them asparagus because who likes that? I was just telling Lucas this yesterday. I like John's asparagus because he wraps it in bacon. Yes, I like that. So we never did that. So my kids just ate really good food, right? But occasionally there'd be a food that they didn't care for very much, and maybe at 4 years old they'd have a voice to say. Maybe to say something like, I don't want to eat those peas. Do you know what I'm talking about, parents? Do you know what I'm talking about? Listen. A four-year-old, when he says, I don't want to eat my peas, the problem isn't the peas. The problem is a heart problem about authority. The problem isn't peas. The problem is a fundamental rebellion against authority. And I know that sounds strong because it shows up in peas. And you may argue, well, they have every right to not want to eat peas because maybe you think peas don't taste good. But ultimately, what we're talking about is authority structures. And so it shows up very young, but what we're dealing with is heart problems with respect to authority. And a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old are trying to figure out ways to fight authority at every turn. A 2-year-old's terrible twos are a reflection of this exact thing. I want to be my own boss. I want to be my own authority. Well, it's extremely important that as a parent we teach authority principles. And so this is foundational. By the way, some people never grow out of that. At 4 years old, they're exactly like that at 15, and they're exactly like that at 18, and they're exactly like that at 25, and some people are exactly like that at 65, at 75, at 85. You're fighting authority at every turn, and you haven't grown up. But it's important for parents to teach authority. Okay, is everybody understanding that there so far? All right. I hope this is not boring anybody, but this is important. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 5, this is great. This is really good stuff. All right, this is really good. I'm excited about this one. All right, principle number two, and let's just read. Let's read first Ephesians 5:22, and we're going to read all the way through to chapter 6:2. So notice, we'll see, and if you just pay attention, we'll start seeing authority structures laid out in this chapter. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. I have that underlined, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself to the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ did to the church, because we're members of Christ's body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Point number two, principle number two, parents have no independent or autonomous of yourself authority. Parents have no independent authority. What in the world do we mean? Well, let's see. Verse 22 says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. The authority that the wife has over anything and the submission that she has is because there's a bigger authority that's giving it, and that's God. So wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. But the church is subject to Christ. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. So there's submission there. In the same way that Christ, who's the head of the husband, loved the church, so there's authority there. My authority as a husband is not tyrannical authority that's just vested in me with nobody else that I have to answer to. God gave me authority in my home as the husband. And that authority is not autonomous. It doesn't end with me, and it doesn't self-exist. It exists in a bigger authority picture. Nobody has autonomous. Wives, the extent to which you are also authority over your children, there's authority. Notice chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. What? In the Lord. This whole thing, the structure of this is the authority and the submission that we have is not in a vacuum. It's got this bigger overarching picture. It's God that's giving the authority and the commands here. So principle number two, parents have no independent. I've seen husbands. We've done counseling for people whose husbands, part of the problem with their marriage is they want submission. They want submission by everybody underneath them, but don't understand that submission in the context of I've got authority above me. So this has to be understood in context, given that, let's skip down to the umbrellas. We'll wait on principle number three. Skip down to the umbrellas, because this only works in unison. This umbrella system only works in unison. The first blank there beside the first umbrella is Christ. Okay, you can write God, Christ. That's umbrella number one. Number two, husband. And before we get confused here, or there may be some people in here that might think, well, this seems really antiquated, or we've evolved past that as a society. Maybe the society doesn't accept this structure anymore. To their peril. To their destruction. The husband, then wife, and then, you guessed it, children. Okay? So Christ, husband, wife, children. All these must work together. And a biblical home that operates the way a biblical home ought to be thinking about this all the time. All the time. Christ, husband, wife, children. Let's go back up to principle number three. Exercise. I actually have two words here, so this is going to be kind of hard to fit all this in one little blank. Exercise consistent humble authority. Exercise consistent, humble authority. Consistent, why? Because that drawing is always there. That authority structure is always there. You can't escape it. And no matter if you're the husband or the wife, you are under somebody. We've told our kids this since they've been. This is one of my top five speeches at home. This is one of my top five little pep talks at home, and that's this. Hey, listen, you might not like it, or when there's submission to authority problems, you might not like it. But no matter where you are in life, you've got someone above you. No matter where you are in life. I've said this so many times. I have to answer to the church. I have to answer to the elder board. I have people that I am accountable to. Those are authorities over me. Ultimately, so it doesn't matter if it's a teacher. It doesn't matter if it's a parent. You're going to absolutely have authority in your life. Your whole life, you're going to have authority structures. There's no escaping it. You may as well learn to deal with that in the context of this home. How many times have we said that? We've said this as parents so many times. You may as well learn to deal with the fact that you have authority in your life now. You'll never escape it. You'll never escape it. And the way that you do that is the way that you exercise authority as parents is with consistent. Consistent. It has to be consistent and it has to be humble. Consistent, humble authority. I've got a few notes, and then I'm going to try to rush through these. This is good so far, right? Is this helpful? I hope this is helpful. I've got a few little notes. They're not extra points, but they just sort of are. I've got five things I want to say. To reject authority. To reject, number one, to reject authority is ultimately to reject God's authority. Okay? We've kind of already said that. But to reject authority is ultimately to reject God's authority. If I look at this page and I see an umbrella here and I decide that I don't want... If a child, let's just talk about children, this is safest. If a child decides, I don't want to honor my parents, okay? Well, so the problem is that there's a chain and you've broken them all. If you don't honor your parents, you've taken yourself out from under God's authority right off the bat because God has you as a child under my authority. And you might not like that, but that's the way it is in the same way that I have authority under Christ. To accept, and I think this is where I'm heavy-hearted. We should not accept as parents a flippancy about authority. This is everything. This is a big part of learning Christ-likeness is to understand God is in charge. God is in charge, and He's in charge in this home. He's in charge in this home, and so. That means that there's a way that this works. You must obey and honor me as a parent. You must obey and honor mom as a parent. That has to happen. It has to happen. That's the way it is. And children have this added benefit that we don't have. If you do that, you'll live long. What a beautiful thing. And you know something else too. There's quite a bit of protection here, right? If it's raining, it's good to have an umbrella. There's nothing tyrannical about Kelly having to, in a manner conducive with Ephesians chapter 5, submit to God's given authority. There's nothing tyrannical about that, or it might sound weird to the world, but here's the thing. If I'm doing it the way Ephesians 5 says, where I'm loving her as Christ loved the church, that's a sacrificial umbrella. That's an umbrella that's saying, I'm going to take the hits and I'm going to protect this family. That's a beautiful thing. Why ever would a woman not want to be under that kind of protection? And by the way, husbands, you're the one responsible. You're going to stand before God about what happens in your home. Why in the world are you letting your wife be the primary parent? It's not her. You're the primary parent. You're the one ultimately responsible. In my 20 years of ministry experience, most family dynamic problems are because a husband isn't doing it God's way. That's absolutely true. That is fundamental. And so the husband is the one. So I have, one day I'm going to stand before God the way I dealt with my family, and I'm going to have to answer for that. Kelly will not. Kelly will not. I'm the husband. I'm the one that answers to the authority right above me, which is Christ. Does that sound unkind? There's a grace about this beautiful gospel picture. Because I'm loving my wife in the same way Christ loved the church. You see how the gospel is kind of in this picture? So number one, to reject authority, I've kind of jumped all over the place. Number one, to reject authority is to ultimately reject God's authority. Number two, what kind of picture are your children getting of God's authority based on how you exercise yours? What kind of picture are your kids getting? What kind of thing are they learning about God's authority by the way that you, as parents, exercise your authority? Are they seeing a pattern that is gracious, beautiful, loving, kind, and submissive, or are they seeing something that isn't? I would say this. Occasionally, there's something that we're very careful about. And this happens all the time. Every family deals with these kinds of things, but every once in a while, you see it in the at Walmart or somewhere, and you see this. You see a husband. How many have seen this or understand it? The husband tells the kids, "Do this," and then the wife says, "Oh, but really." Well, why in front of the kids? Do you know what you just did? You just jumped authority structures. And what a kid saw was, hold on, if she can jump the authority structure here, then do you see how that just undid the authority structures? So if there's a disagreement, have those disagreements in the room when the kid isn't around. Don't jump authority structures. If you did it to your husband, then what's to say that the child thinks, I'm just going to jump the whole thing. I'm going to jump the whole thing. Authority means nothing because there's no structure here that's intact. This is a free-for-all of authority structures. So now, why else would the kid think that there's intact authority and a kid not feel like he could jump authorities? Are you following me? It's really critical that the parents, and this is why I say, I'm saving this for last, but this is why husbands are key to this. You have to walk with God and be the kind of godly person that you need to be so that there isn't, and you need to manage your home in a way that you recognize this structure, that the idea that you get jumped isn't helpful. You should talk as with your wife about what our goals are and as parents, absolutely, but all that in the back room. Okay, but a child should not jump you. Oh, well, I guess I'll let that go. Well, hold up. We got to be consistent and humble. Consistent and humble. But be careful of jumping authority structures. You are teaching when you do that, that authority structure doesn't matter. You are teaching it without saying it. You are saying in action, look, the kid gets this picture. Oh, authority doesn't matter. I'm not sure who the boss is. Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Is it my mom? Is it my dad? Maybe there is no boss. Not good. Not good. I've seen a lot of heartache come out of that disaster. Submission, number three, humility is needed to show submission to God's authority. Okay, now this is important then too. This means that husbands, you're not saying, kids do this because I'm the boss. Terrible. Terrible. You do not, what was gospel principle number two? Parents have no independent, autonomous authority. You're not the boss. Jesus is the boss. God's word has ultimate authority in this home. I'm not the boss. And that also means that you say, listen, I've got authority over me. And that also means that when you mess up, you say, you own it, and you have the humility of spirit to say, listen, I messed up. I just stepped out from under God's authority. I have to be careful. I have to be careful of that. So there's a humility about modeling authority to your kids so that they accept, okay, dad's just like me. He's got authority that he answers to, and I have authority that I answer to. And we're seeing that modeled all the way up the line as in our home. I'm seeing, there have been times, Kelly will attest, Where I've had to humble myself before my family and say, the way I did that wasn't right. Okay, God has ways that I should be leading this home, and what I just did wasn't right. Or I just lost my temper, that wasn't right. I have an authority I have to answer to, and I have to model it with humility. So point number four, which I've already said, husbands are the key. Husbands are the key. Husbands are the key. And I don't even know, I just want to say, because I believe this, husbands, if you have said, well, my job is to go home, to work it and provide, but as far as actual parenting, that's my wife's job. Okay, that is a terrible, terrible way to lead a home. It won't work. You must be the godly parent that God has called you to be as a husband. And you must be consistent, humble in that authority. But you must show that you're the authority. I don't want to harp on it, but there's so many disasters that have happened when the wife is the one that calls the shots. There's a saying, right? We know who wears the pants. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, listen. What that describes is a messed up authority structure in your home. That isn't helpful. It counters the gospel message itself. And I think that's really, we have to be careful as godly parents. This is important. And then finally, this sounds like such a downer Mother's Day thing. This isn't like, mothers, I'm giving you a gift. You don't have the responsibility any longer moving forward to be the boss in your home. Happy Mother's Day. All right, number five. Number five, do you own and recognize, this is going to be hurtful. Do you own and recognize the rebellion in your own heart? Do you recognize and own the rebellion in your own heart? But it's easy for me to be up here and preach. It's easy for us as parents to say, you need to obey, you need to do this. Like, oh, that's pretty easy as a parent with little kids that are stuck at home because they can't drive. But do you recognize that you deal with authority structures all the time that you don't submit to in Christ, and that your heart is just like your child's? And so that, again, that's where humility comes in, where there's a grace about how we deal with our kids, right? Because I am aware that God allows me to make a lot of mistakes, and then on a lot of mistakes, God doesn't throw the hammer down. God is gracious and long suffering. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, you ought to model something like that too. You ought to model something that looks like gracious understanding. Not you can live the way that you want with no repercussions, but also not hammers all the time. Maybe sometimes it's just teaching loving instruction that's needed. Right? Maybe it's just instruction that's needed. Maybe it's just kind of a loving talk about authority. And so, several principles this morning. We got establishing biblical authority in your home is gospel work. Parents have no independent, autonomous authority. Exercise consistent and humble authority. And then so five little observations. To reject authority is ultimately to reject God. What kind of picture are your children getting of God's authority based on how you exercise yours? Humility is needed to show submission to God's authority. Husbands are the key. And do you own and recognize the rebellion in your own heart? This morning, I trust that this is helpful, just so that maybe you and your wife need to go home and think through this model. And then there may be some humility even in that discussion to say, I've not done very well. I've counseled parents before, Kelly knows, in which I've said, listen, you guys need to go home and have a genuine discussion with your kids that we hadn't done this thing well, but by God's grace, we're changing the way we manage our home. And those discussions sometimes just need to happen. And I want you to say a caveat: nothing perfect about me or our home. We're learning by God's grace, just like you are. We are by no means perfect. We're trying to learn. We're trying to learn and be all that God has asked us to do. And we want to work. We want to walk that with our parents. And make sure that. But listen, we ought to have something like clearly defined and in mind, and that is, we want to have a home that honors God with authority structures that honor God. That's our goal.